I'm going to share some things that are a little bit different tonight. I want to give you some vision about our future and some practical things. So we're going to study Torah, but we're only going to look at a small part. So I feel guilty praying, but I'm going to pray anyway. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Well, this week we are reading the second parsha from Genesis, Parshat Noach, the story of Noah. And it tells us something. Even God has to start over sometimes. When God wanted to start over, he picked a man named Noach. Can you say that? Noach. He picked a man and his family. And he showed through this that he was still committed to the sons of Adam. Even though he was removing most of the people from the earth, he was still committed to the sons of Adam. And it tells us something. God's not ashamed to tell us that he had to start over. And you could say that God has real grit, couldn't you? He's got fortitude. He's got commitment. He's got character. He doesn't give up. Even if he has to start over again with one family, he'll do it. Now, in one sense, God started over, but in another sense, he was keeping on course. You see, God chose Noah and his family because they were people who would start over with God and who would keep on the course that God had started with. They were not perfect, but they were faithful. And they trusted God. And in many ways, when I think about them, I think about us here. And I think about our move here to our new synagogue and how that was also a combination of starting over and of keeping on course. It felt sometimes when we were in our temporary sanctuary with the low ceilings and the tight space that we were in some ark. You know, it was tight quarters, wasn't it? We lost a few people through that process who were uncomfortable. But in a real sense, it was keeping on course. And we have indeed kept on course and we're starting over. So I want to compare our experience with moving here to Noah's experience. So to do that, let me show you something. After the flood, God gave Noah an assignment. He said, I'm going to call out some words that he said to Noah. I want you just to say them after me. Be fruitful. Multiply. And fill the earth. You see, that was the mandate for Noah. It turns out that that's the same mandate that God had given to Adam. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. You see, Adam's situation and Noah's situation were really different, but the assignment was the same. The assignment didn't change, and that helps us understand something. When you start over, it may be because you are trying to keep on course. Some of you've lost jobs, but you haven't lost your direction in life and you need to keep on course. Don't give up on what God's called you to do or be because he wants to keep taking you forward. Even if it means starting over, it means staying on course. Can you agree with this? The changes that you go through when you have to start over should be related to what it's going to take to stay on course. Now, a few weeks ago, our congregation faced a great challenge, really. For years, we've been enjoying celebrating Sukkot at St. John's Grammar School. The director is Janine Decker. She's a faithful member of Beth Israel. And when it was time to set up, most of you remember, it was a Friday, and the rains had supersaturated their grounds, and it was impossible for us to use. And so on Friday afternoon, we had to start over again with nothing in order to stay on course. And we could have said, you know what? We're not going to celebrate Sukkot. But you know that wouldn't fly. You know I wouldn't agree to that. Am I right? You know that about me. It's like, we'll find a way somehow. Well, thanks to Eric, thanks to Jared working together, thanks to a whole team of people, Rod and his team and many others, our congregation kicked into gear. And many people joined in the last minute efforts to move the celebration here to our synagogue grounds to convert our parking lot. Convert's probably not a good word to use in a Messianic congregation, but to convert our parking lot into a Sukkot zone. And that's where we built our sukkah, that's where we worshiped, we danced, we played games, and then out on the grassy areas, that's where we had our picnic. And you know what? It was an all-hands-on-deck situation. What amazed me is how with joy and commitment people came together. And it showed me something, that Beth Israel has grown as a kehillah, a community and a congregation. And we've grown as a mishpocha, a family. And we are a community and a family together. We're not just an organization. And we're not just a group that has services. We are a community that serves other people and serves powerfully. Not only do we study when we hear, but we live joyful lives and victorious lives. And we're having an impact, and you need to know the impact so you can enjoy yourself. Well, that Saturday, we had a fantastic Sukkot celebration. And everyone I saw was cheerful and good-natured and enjoying themselves. And we kept on course. Now, over the last few months, you know that I've been focusing on discipleship in our studies because I believe that's part of keeping on course, but it's also part of starting over, to take a fresh look at what does it mean to be a disciple and what does it mean to make disciples. And I've been really pleased with the attitude that I've seen and the great response that's emerging because we need to keep on course. We're a messianic synagogue. I want you to say that with me. We are a messianic synagogue. And we take seriously what Yeshua said about making disciples. We want to be good disciples. Isn't that true? Don't you want to be a good disciple? And we want to make disciples. And we are called, think about this, to be a home for Jewish people who love Yeshua and who want to raise their families in a Jewish community that is filled with other people like them who love Yeshua. We're called to study seriously. Say that with me. Study seriously. To live joyfully. Say that with me. Live joyfully. And to serve others as a community. Can you say that? Serve others as a community. You see, our synagogue is really important here in Jacksonville because we have a calling to worship the Lord, to lift up the name of Yeshua, and to do this as a Jewish community and part of the Jewish world. No other synagogue in Jacksonville does what we do. No other synagogue in Jacksonville walks in this calling. No church in Jacksonville does what we do. No church in Jacksonville walks in this calling. It'd be great if there were dozens of synagogues like us. That'd be fantastic. If H. Chaim woke up one morning and they all decided, let's be messianic, I would rejoice. If Chabad rabbis got together one day and said, I got a new idea, maybe our Rabbi Schneerson isn't the Messiah, I think it's Yeshua. Let's change everything to reflect that. I'd be happy. If we had the Jacksonville Alliance of Messianic Congregations and Synagogues, and there were dozens of synagogues, I'd be delighted. Because one day, our congregation needs to rise up and do what we're called to do, which is send people out to other parts of the city, to Ponte Vedra, to St. Augustine, and so forth. We need to rise up, and we need to be able to do like we did in the former Soviet Union, gather people together and say, what city has God put on your heart? Okay, let's go and start a work in that city. And as a result, the Messianic movement exists and is thriving in the former Soviet Union. We need to rise up into that calling. Well, we need to take time. I'm excited. I hope you can see. I'm motivated. We need to take time to think about who we are, what we're called to be, and where we're going. And we're going to continue with our theme on discipleship. But I want to introduce something to you that's going to guide us through the end of this calendar year and into the beginning of next year. It's what I want you to call Operation Breakthrough. So just look at somebody in the eye and say, Operation Breakthrough. Operation Breakthrough. This is what I want you to call it, because we're going to break through in many areas as a congregation. I want to share with you several ways we're already breaking through. We're breaking through as a community. We talked about Sukkot. But we saw it as well at Simchat Torah. Wasn't it fantastic having so many people taking turns? Little children, older people carrying the Haftorah and the Torah scrolls. I mean, there were times when I saw people carrying the Torah scrolls and I thought, do they even have the strength to hold on to it? Someone stand near them so they don't drop it and we have to fast for 40 days. And there were moments when the little children I saw carrying the Haftorah were actually smaller than the Haftorah, and I just thought the weight might tilt them over despite their strength. But no one dropped anything, and everyone took a turn who had the desire. And it was incredible to watch the children gather around the Torah scroll and help us roll back all the way to the beginning in Genesis. And a few adults took turns as well. It was great. And you know what was also great? We did it here. Last year, a year ago, we walked from Bay Meadows over here, and then we went upstairs into the temporary sanctuary, the Ark, this little tight room, and we made it our home. This year, we were home. And it was bright, and we had windows to look out onto our beautiful lake, and it was pleasant. Yes? It wasn't inside of a warehouse somewhere. Thank God for the Bay Meadows space. And thank God double for this space. So it was a fresh start. And yet it was a time to keep on course. Now, those of you who are here Thursday night, you saw something during our memorial service for Dorothy Gordon. Dorothy died. We honored her. We stood with Mike and his family as they mourned. We cried together. We worshiped together. And we laughed together. And you know what was so beautiful? Our mishpocha prepared a beautiful spread, food that was beautiful and delicious, and served the Gordon family and their extended family and their old friends. It was incredible. Everyone worked together, and I want to thank all of you who took your precious time and pitched in together with all of your heart. I was really proud of you last night and grateful at the same time. You see, we grew. We grew. Some of us were talking. Carol, you and I were talking. We're getting better at being a community and being a strong mishpocha with high standards for excellence and for good service. So I want to connect this to Operation Breakthrough. We are ready to wrap up the last details of phase one of our building program. You know, when we were moving over here, we wanted to do it all at once, but it was so much money, it couldn't be done. And so we broke it into phases. Other people told us it was impossible to do it with our budget, but we have done it. And we are now in the last weeks of phase one. We've got phase 2, 3, 4, 5, 11. I don't know what's on 11 yet. I do know what's on phase 2 and 3. In the next few weeks, we're going to finish up everything in phase 1, and I want to ask you to join together so that we can make one final payment to our contractors in a few days. And I want to explain to you what we need to do and how we can do it. We need $15,000 to make the final payment for the contract work that's done so far. That includes installing the dimmers and the controls for our stage lights. Do you see the stage lights up here? They need to be connected to the controls. Those are the very last details. And do you see the perimeter lighting? There are dimmers that go on those so that we can adjust the lighting in the room to whatever we want for whatever purpose we want, so that we can always have the best atmosphere when we're praying, we're worshiping, and have it bright enough but not glaring. Bright enough so you can read your Bibles, and you know how important that is to me. but not glaring. We need to be able to have a lot of different moods, and when we have concerts or drama or other special presentations, we have lights prepared to shine in just the right ways. So this last $15,000 pays everything to all of our contractors and does the final finishing touches. Now, let me tell you a detail, because I want to show you how we can do this. Because we want to do it sort of like the way we did the Sukkot picnic. Every month, we have 300 or more different people who attend our services and worship with us. Some months, we have 400 or 500 different people, but every month, it's at least 300 different people who come. And if each one of us, young and old, would give just $50 a piece towards this, we would have exactly what we need. 300 times 50 is 15,000. Now, some of us will find it difficult to give that much, and others will find it very easy. And so what we want to do is have the same attitude we had for Sukkot. We used to sell tickets. And then, you know what? Some families that couldn't afford didn't come. But what we did this time is we just asked everybody to pitch in as best they could. And those that wanted to give extra for those that could give nothing did. And we had more than enough for our Sukkot picnic. And we learned something. The only way you can do that is when you feel like a family in a community. And people who could gave generously, and people who could only give a little bit gave a little bit, and people who couldn't give when they wanted to gave when they could. It was amazing. So as a community, we want to pitch in. You could say all hands on deck, you know, like we did for Sukkot. Because if we can do this, and we can, by the end of next weekend, not today, not tomorrow, but by the end of next weekend, if we can have everything in, we can write a check and give it to the contractor the following week and be done with that, and we can say, hallelujah, we ended this with no mortgage. Do you understand that? We didn't go to a bank and borrow anything. We raised it from ourselves. We got more to raise because we got more vision about what to do. And we're on a pay-as-we-go plan. Do you agree with that? So I want to ask everyone to give something by the end of next weekend. Some will be able to give $100, some $1,000, some will give just a little bit. But if each of us does a part, it's going to really help us. Now, I've got just 11 minutes before I told you I'd be finished, and I will be finished by then. So I'm going to burn half of my notes. Hallelujah. Okay, I want to tell you a story. Dr. Chuck, I can always count on you for your encouraging support. I want to tell you a story about some doves. Did you know that rock doves and pigeons are the same thing? How many of you knew that? But when you think of pigeons, you think of like dirty animals. When you think of doves, you think of nice, gentle, peaceful things, right? No one makes a banner with a pigeon. It's always a dove that's carrying, you know, that olive branch, you know, and so forth. Okay, now, in Hebrew, the word for dove is Yonah. Can you say that? Yonah. You know who Yonah is in the Bible? Jonah, that's right. And as I understand it, I hope I'm right, all doves in Hebrew are female, in the same way that in Russian, all cats grammatically are female. Is that correct? I know it is in Russian. Now, you know there are male cats. How many of you knew that already? But in many languages, things that we consider generally to be an it are always either a male or a female, and it's just a peculiarity. Okay, so you got to keep this in mind as the story goes on. This little background. And I also want to speak to the men in the congregation for a moment about this. And the ladies, feel free to listen in. But I want to tell you about what happened with Sandy and me this summer when we took a few weeks off for rest and restoration. The Lord was speaking to Sandy and showed her that he wanted to give birth to something during those weeks. And we went away. We stayed in a small apartment. And in the kitchen window, outside on the windowsill was a little planter box. And then outside that were some shutters that were almost closed, but not completely closed. And when we got there and we got unpacked, a dove flew in and brought a little branch. Now, I have to tell you, prior to this moment, I did not like pigeons, even if you call them rock doves. But there was something unusual going on, and so we watched carefully. And then there were two doves. And Sandy realized that a nesting is going on, and so she started learning about doves. So I spent those weeks learning about doves. How many guys can understand this? When your wife is interested in something, you are too. Okay. And you like it. And I generally summoned enthusiasm. Well, the nesting habits of these birds is a bit unique. The male chooses the site where he wants to build a nest, and he picks it in view of the female, and then he gets a stick, and he puts it in the place where he wants to build a nest, and the female accepts it or rejects it. And if the female accepts it, that's the place for the nest. And then the female stays at the nesting site, and the male goes and gets more stuff. And so every day we watch more stuff come. Now, here's the amazing thing. There was always a dove in the window, no matter what time of day you looked. That's when we found out that they take turns sitting in the nest. And after they're there for just a few days, the female lays an egg, and then the next day lays another egg. And we saw that actually happen. It was amazing. It was so much more interesting than going to Disney World because it was real. So the female lays her eggs, and the female and the male take turns sitting on the eggs, and they together provide warmth and safety to them 24/7. That's what we saw happening. Well, we watched this the whole time, and so we start reading, how long does it take for these eggs to hatch? And do you know, the day before we were leaving, the first egg hatched. And the day we were leaving, the actual day, that morning, I saw the second one hatch. I just stood there and waited. By this point, I'm a devoted rock dove aficionado. And I watched and watched, and it hatched. And it was so exciting. So can you believe I got excited about rock doves? Not really. But I'm telling you, it really touched me. Now, I'm not calling them pigeons much anymore. Now, a few days ago, Sandy was working on her online devotional series, Seeing Things Now, and she came across the story of Noah from the Parsha that we're reading today. And how the dove, now what's the name of the dove? Yonah, returned with, now here's the Hebrew can be understood a couple of different ways. It's clearly from an olive tree. Some say it's a leaf, others say it's actually a leafy branch. I go with that. And so she's coming across this and she reads it and she says, do you know what that means? And it hit me. It was a male dove who had been sent out. A lot of the English says it was a she, and that's just because all doves are female, even male doves. Don't get trapped in that. So the dove goes out, and it brings a leafy branch. And you know what that means? To Noah, it meant the water is receding, but it meant something else. The doves are ready to start over again too. It wasn't just Noah. It was everything, every living thing with him had to start over in order to refill the earth and replenish it. Now, here's the thing that I never understood. It was the male dove who brought that, stuff. And it inspired me. And part of what made the story beautiful to me is it shows how the male and the female cooperate to build their nest. We saw that and how each does a part. But I love the idea that the male dove provides the resources for the nest. We often say the woman is nesting, you know, that women have a nesting instinct. But it turns out each of us has a part. And in the dove world, and I think in a spiritual way for us, who are called to be gentle as doves, right? We guys need to step up here in the synagogue and make sure that we do our part to provide the resources and the finances for our synagogue. We need to say like the male dove does, I'll go get the stuff. And then we'll all work together and do our part. Now, every one of us has a part, and tomorrow I'm going to speak about children because I want the children to give something too, even if they give a little bit, but I'll speak about that. Even though they're not going to be present, I'm going to talk to the parents so the parents can talk to the children, and some of the older kids who will be with us I'm going to talk to as well. But to the guys, I just want to say, even though all of us can do our part, something important happens when we guys step up and say, let's take responsibility to get all the resources we need to make sure as a community we have what we need to move forward and that we don't leave it to others. And if we do that, you know, not only will the women, but the children will also join in. And then every generation will be represented. And it speaks to me about what's happening in our host ministry. It used to be that a few people would serve there. And then it grew. Thank you, Claude, for your leadership in that. It's grown to many people. But now it's taken another step. Whole families with children are serving as well. And we're being met at the door with young faces. And it shows us something. That the assignment that we've been given is not just for one age group or one gender. It's for everybody. And there's got to be a place for the little ones and the big ones. Well, in the 2 minutes I got remaining, let me tell you, yeah, someone wind the clock back, could you? As we begin Operation Breakthrough, we want to make this final payment for phase one, then we need to turn to phase two, and that's where we start our work on the community cafe and fellowship center. And we are all excited about having that additional space available to us. And it will be a community effort too. We'll all work together on the resources, the finances for that. There'll be opportunities for volunteer work and labor to help put some of that together. We also need professionals for that. And there are going to be new ministries that are going to be launched through that effort as well. And we'll keep engaging you on this. So I want to tell you, I'm not only talking about meeting this $15,000 challenge for us that gives us a great conclusion to a great effort, but I want to talk about where we're headed and where we're going. It's going to take the weeks and the months. It's not all about money. It's about heart and vision and how we work together. But I don't want to be afraid to talk about the money side because you know what? God wants to provide for everything that we need. And we're going to be sharing with you about the people we need and the resources we need for the growing ministries we have and how you can be involved. And we're going to keep you informed about our plans, our work, our progress, our finances. And so everybody's going to grow up. You're going to learn more. You're going to learn the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're going to move forward. You'll bear with us. You'll join with us. Now, on Sunday, I'm going to send out an email to everyone who's on our communications list. If you haven't signed up, fill out a card. We want to make it easy for everyone to participate in Operation Breakthrough. So we can actually receive donations tonight by check, cash, or bank card at the welcome desk after the service. And then on Sunday, with the email, you can go online as well to BethIsraelNow.com, and there'll be an Operation Breakthrough button you can push, and that'll let you donate online. And remember the goal, to have all the donations in by the end of next weekend, totaling $15,000, so we can make a final payment. Now, concluding statement. Two details. Your faithful giving of your tithes is what enables us to carry out our mission and calling and fulfill the assignments that God has given our synagogue. And your extra giving through Operation Breakthrough helps us break through into the next level. And one more detail I need to tell you about. Our original plan when we came here was to rent our synagogue space to a church to use on Sundays, as we had with Redeemer for a number of years. And it was a great way for us to cooperate and demonstrate unity and diversity, and to show other people something spiritual as well, that you can be different and still cooperate and work together in many different ways. You know, we're living in an era where there's so much polarization and so much fragmentation and separation. Someone has to live another way. And so as a community, we should. So it's part of our spiritual plan, but it's also part of our business plan. Now, right before we moved in here, we made a decision to wait on bringing a church in. And the reason is we wanted to get settled. We wanted to understand better what we were doing and how to work. But it cost us something. And that cost has put us under strain, actually, because we actually needed that money in order to cover the additional space that we've got here compared to what we had before. We're paying a very low rate, much lower than what we paid before, but we got a lot more square footage, and it's much better square footage. So it put us under financial strain, and we needed the extra income, and we have to act quickly. We're working with our team to see if we can get a church in by January. And so that will help us in 2013. It won't help us for the balance of 2012. So we do have some financial strain that we're under, and I just want to be honest with you. So this is what I want to tell you as you're giving as well. If you have a desire to help us with our gap in our budget, with extra giving, or even catch up, if you have been meaning to catch up on your tithes, now's a good time. Is that a good way of saying it? Okay, that's enough then. So with that in mind, let's just pray. Let's thank the Lord for all the incredible things he's doing with us and through us and with all of us who are part of the Messianic movement and God's restoration of our Jewish people. Lord, thank you for our provision. Thank you for this house and this sanctuary. Thank you for this synagogue. And thank you that we're going to be able to end this project in abundance with you. Thank you that you are the God who takes not enough and you make it more than enough. You are the God who stays on course even when we start over, and you help us continue. And we ask you, Lord, for your great outpouring. We ask for abundance that's far beyond what we could have imagined. And we tell you, Lord, we will continue to be frugal, to be very careful with our money, that we could do what's pleasing to you in a way that's pleasing to you and that brings fruit that honors you. We ask in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, I have to pay something extra because I kept you 4 extra minutes. Oh, how much are you going to charge me for those extra 4? I can't afford it, yeah. Let's close with Aaron's blessing, can we? Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone.